One of the scariest moments of my life is when I learned how to pray before going to bed. If you grew up in the church, then you know the exact prayer I'm talking about. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. The first few times when my parents would say that to me, I felt a strong warmth and comfort. I felt protected and I felt safe. But after a few weeks, my parents started to tuck me in less and less. They even kind of slowed down on teaching me the prayer. And then I started to get scared. I started to really think about what I was saying. And it felt as if I was in an electric chair or on death row. I mean, just think about the words. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Why wouldn't he take my soul? Oh, because the devil wants it. So now I'm afraid that the devil may take my soul when I fall asleep. And if I die before I wake, wait, what? I might not wake up in the morning. This could be it. No more toys, no more family. I'll just be dead. I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Now, let me tell you, I was sweating bullets. Some nights I would just mumble over, if I die before I wake, right? But brothers and sisters, death is a reality that we all have to face, and we can't just put our heads under the covers like I did and hope that we will be okay in the morning. Today, I want you to think about your family and what will happen if you die before you wake. And at the end of my talk, I hope you make the decision to make some changes to your financial situation so you and your family can rest in peace if God calls you home. My name is A.B. Ridgway. I'm a certified private wealth advisor professional with over a decade of experience in the financial industry. I have served over 300 clients and have seen, read, or helped with almost every financial situation from the birth of a child to the death of a spouse. And if I had to boil down what was the number one factor that determined financial success versus financial failure, it would be the quality of the instructions left behind. Understand this, brothers and sisters, when you buy a new TV, a whiz-bang 3000, or even a t-shirt from Walmart, what comes with that item? Instructions. When you buy a $5 t-shirt from Walmart, if you flip the tag, you know, the one that scratches everyone's neck, you will see washing instructions. What does it say? Wash in cold water, wash with light colors, tumble dry low, and iron on low if necessary. These are instructions. These are care instructions. Now, what happens when you don't follow these instructions? You get the notorious shrinking of the shirt because you put it in hot water. You get color stains as it bleeds on other colors, and you may not be able to fit the shirt anymore. And instead of blaming ourselves, what do? We blame the shirt. We call the shirt cheap. We say that Walmart makes horrible clothes. Their clothes are trash. But if we would follow these instructions, our shirts would last longer. We would have more perceived value of quality and sustainability because we follow the instructions. The same thing for our finances, brothers and sisters. When we leave good instructions and we have an executor follow those instructions as written, we will have more success. And this is why I'm talking with you today, because I want you to have more financial success. And if you are the leader in your family, if you are the smartest person in your family and everyone depends on you, and if you die, the family will fall apart financially and spiritually, then you are in the right place, because I'm going to give you three things you can do that if you die before you wake, your family will be okay. Is that all right? Well, brothers and sisters, let me ask you first, has any one of you ever visited someone in the hospital, especially during a surgery? When they were about to release them, what did they give you? Instructions. Y'all are catching on, right? Instructions on how to take care of the wound, right? Or the injury, right? To take care of that person. And what else? Right, a prescription. Instruction on how to take the medicine. But why do they do this? Because they are no longer there to take care of you. When you're in the hospital, they know the instructions and they execute them. But when you leave, the doctor is no longer there. They need something that will speak for them when they are no longer in your presence. And that is where you get the prescriptions. That's where you get the care instructions. Your finances, once again, works the same way. While you're alive, you can do things yourself. You know where the banks are. You know how much is in them. You have unlimited access. You know your passcodes, and you know what money is where. But if you should die before you wake, will your children and spouse know where your banks are? Will they know how much is in them? Will they have access to them? Will they know all your passcodes? I don't know. So the big question is, have you left instructions? So tip number one is to write down the financial instructions. But AB, I don't know what to write. I'm not going to write down my account numbers and balances in a notebook. I mean, what if someone finds it, or what if I lose it? Touche. That's right. You don't want to write down your personal information, especially leave it somewhere. But what you are going to do is write down a framework for how you want your finances to go. After you get the full financial plan, you could put this in a safe deposit box or somewhere safe in a vault where it is protected from other people getting to it if they so choose. And you can also give copies to people that you love. So here's an example here. You pull out a sheet of paper, you get a pen or a pencil. You're going to write very simple sentences, maybe two or three. I want my spouse to get 100% of my assets. I want each of my four kids to get 50% and split it four ways. I don't want the house to be sold. And if they need the money, I want them to be able to use my retirement money to pay off the house. That's it. That's your financial plan. That is what's going to make you comfortable going on and passing on. It isn't official. It isn't even pretty. It's not even financially sound. But it is the first step to getting your finances organized. With just these few statements, a financial advisor can do so much to help you. Now watch this. Based on this statement, we can get the names and contact information of the spouse, add her as a beneficiary on all your accounts, including retirement accounts, bank accounts, and investment accounts. We can create durable power of attorneys that grant your spouse the ability to access your digital, such as your computer or your smartphone, online banking, online credit card accounts, email accounts, social media, documents, and photo storages. Also, put in language in your estate plan that will be able to change passwords if necessary. If you don't feel comfortable with them having access while you're alive, you can gift this power to the executor of the estate. The beneficiary and executor can be the same person, the spouse in this case, but based on which title you grant this access will determine when the person can access the information. If you're a power of attorney, you can get access up until death. Power of attorney ceases at death. So if you're the executor, the power doesn't begin until the person passes. We can also get the names and contact information of your beneficiaries, potentially adding them to your retirement accounts so they can bypass probate and get their money faster. We can also set up contingent beneficiaries, such as grandchildren, just in case a child dies before their inheritance. Their portion can go to their children and not to the other siblings. And we may also want to review the mortgage and figure out how much is left. We may not have enough in our retirement to cover the balance, or we may not want to use those funds because they're not tax efficient. So we may look into term insurance to cover the mortgage in case of your passing so the beneficiaries can still get money and keep the house. Do you see all that we can do with just a few sentences, right? It is the intention. What do you want to get done? You don't need to know the financial jargon. You don't need to know every account that you need in order to execute your financial plan. You just need your intention. You don't need to know the hows. Me as a Christian financial advisor will help you with the hows. We just need to know the whats. What do you want to do? But first, you have to give the instructions. That is one of the biggest battles I have with my clients. What do you want? What should I have? You can't answer a question with a question, sir. You can't answer a question with a question, ma'am. I need to know what you want. I know what I can do with your money. I know how to manage your assets. But I need to know what is going to make you at peace, because it's not making an additional 2% in the market. It's making sure your kids are okay. It's not about rebalancing your account and making more money than your neighbor. It's making sure that your family is taken care of. So the big question is, What happens when you dine without these instructions? See, the state in which you live in has instructions for your estate, and they don't work in your favor. The state is saying, if you don't have instructions, we have instructions, and we are going to do what's in the best interest of the state. So for you, the best thing you can do is create instructions that are in your best interest. See, I had a client who inherited about $1.4, maybe $1.5 million from an uncle in assets, including property. She was able to increase that wealth up to $3 million over her lifetime. She had one daughter who was diagnosed with cancer, so she was very, very distraught. And this client was just like many people. They didn't want the daughter to know they had millions of dollars, but what she was doing was paying her medical bills. Hey, there's a medical bill, let me pay. They were paying a lot of things in that household. But she had a son-in-law that, and this is an off-topic, on-topic, when you give children money without them having to work for it, they don't understand the value, and then they become entitled. Okay, this son-in-law became entitled because the mother-in-law, the client who had the money, was paying all their bills. So if something came up, they could make it. They went to the mother-in-law. She paid it, right? Because she had so much love for the daughter. So the son-in-law became very entitled. Now, the son-in-law and mother-in-law did not get along. She hated him with all of her might. I don't know if it was a physical abuse, verbal abuse. I don't know if it was just because of how they got married, or I don't know what it was, right? But she did not care for him. But she did love her grandchildren. And I kept telling her, we need to update these beneficiaries and add some contingent beneficiaries, because if you don't, the money is going to go to the son-in-law. She kept putting it off. She said, I would do it, but you know, I need to take care of my daughter. Fine, I get it. You need to take care of your daughter. But I kept telling her that if her daughter passes away, then if she passes away unexpectedly, the son-in-law is going to get the money. Well, just like I thought, the daughter passes away. I'm thinking this is a good time to get it done. She still doesn't want to do it. She's constantly arguing with her son-in-law over her daughter, and he wants her to pay for everything. He wants to pay for the funeral, wants to pay for the cremation, wants to pay for the mortgage, all these things he's pressuring the older lady to do. So full of distress, she ends up falling in her bathroom, hitting her head on the sink, and she passes away. So the courts do what the courts do. They look for the daughter. Did they find her? They found her, but she recently passed away. So they find the death certificate. They say, well, who's next to kin? And guess what? It was the son-in-law. It was her spouse. Unfortunately, he was the only one that was over the age of majority, for her kids were still minors. And he inherited the whole $3 million. Exactly what the client didn't want to do. And he did exactly probably what the client thought he was going to do. He blew it all in 2.5 years. Over 20 years of prudent financial decisions, tax strategies, investments, rebalancing, gone in 2.5 years because she didn't want to leave instructions. He was so bad with money that he ended up taking out payday loans and going into debt, and the grandkids didn't get anything. So we had 3 generations of suffering. So one person who was barely married to a woman for 10 years could blow it in Vegas and on his new girlfriend. Yes, it's that bad. So tip number 2 is to get professional help and listen to it. In Proverbs, it says in chapter 15, verse 22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And I'm here to tell you, not executing on counsel is the same as not knowing it. You can have all the advisors in the world, but if you don't listen, your plans have the potential to fail. And don't just listen, make it legal with legal counsel. See, when you write down your instructions, make sure they are legal in the state that you are in. And if you move states, make sure you update your estate plan, because what works in California may not work in Texas or Louisiana. So update your estate plan when there are major changes in your life. Have you heard of the phrase, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure? That is financial planning in a nutshell. So is this really a problem, right? I mean, do people really just die without a will? I mean, how many people actually do that? It's roughly about half of the people who die in the United States die without a will. And basically, a will is just a legal directive of what will happen to your money, your debts, and your property after you're gone. With everything that we went through the pandemic, where thousands and thousands of people were dying in weeks, we can only assume that that number spiked during that year because no one had time to go and handle their finances. Have you heard of probate court? Well, if you haven't heard of probate court helps people figure out who gets to keep what after a loved one's death. Now, Veronica Vasquez, she's actually a probate judge in Bexar County, Texas. She says this, probate court is the most important court in the courthouse. Why? Well, because unlike criminal courts, you may never end up in a criminal court or know someone you love that ends up in a criminal court. Or perhaps you never have a civil issue and you never have to be sued, but somebody you know and love will die. Having a Christian financial planner who understands your values and beliefs can help you create a strategy to make sure that your family doesn't fall apart when you die. We work closely with your estate attorney to put the proper language, and then we execute opening those accounts and adding beneficiaries. It is a team effort. You need a CPA, certified public accountant, an estate attorney, and a financial advisor to help you create the instructions that are right for you and your family. Today, I hope I have shown you without a shadow of a doubt that there is more to life than just accumulating wealth, that you have to learn how to give your wealth to your loved ones. And if they don't have instructions, you are setting them up for failure. So if you don't have your finances in order and you are the breadwinner in your family, if everyone depends on you and you have to do something, we're here to help. You can schedule a consultation and we'll love to see if we can help you leave instructions to those you love. Because when you lay down at night and say, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take," that you can sleep knowing that if you don't, your family will be okay. God bless.